Y'all pray for Joe, who lost his wife a while back. He's got one daughter. He asked me to pray for her. Let's do that. Let's pray for his daughter. And but anyway, Joe stopped in. Man, we had some sweet communion. Amen. Amen. Talking about wives, I didn't forget October the 27th, whatever day that was. September. Oh, that's my birthday. I did forget. I don't know what to do here. Something's going wrong here. I don't know what to do with this thing. Hit the button on top. Well, I did. I hit the button on top. That's amazing, ain't it? So, September 27th, that was Thursday, right? Did I get the day right? Whatever day it was, that was our anniversary. And 44 years, they made a famous gun called a 44. I try to keep them away from Kathy. The NRA is going to be represented here. They sent us a big box of stuff. And they're going to be represented if you want to sign up with the NRA. They was calling me a few years ago trying to get me to join. I'm a member now. But I asked the guy that was calling me, I said, "Do you have a gun?" He said, "No." I said, "You're trying to get me to join the NRA and you don't even have a gun?" He said, "I got a good reason." He said, "My wife is bipolar. And I can't have a gun in the county around her." He said, "When everything gets calmed down, I'll get me a gun." Oh, but I tell you, don't take this the wrong way, but the other day, Kathy was traveling with me around town, and I got a real hot wife. Don't take that the wrong way. She's a beautiful woman. They use that word hot now, but literally, my wife. My car, my little Toyota, the handle on the passenger side, on the inside is broke. So everybody thinks I'm a real gentleman because I'll go around and let her out. But so we were downtown, we were around Rainbow City somewhere, and it was really, really hot, very hot. And my air conditioner works on one speed, 3, and it'll get cold. It takes it a while. But anyway, we were in there, and I was on the phone with Zachary. He's helping me find golf carts. And we got Jeff's taking care of golf cart. We got a limousine golf carts coming in here to help people if they need a ride up here down the road or whatever. And Etowah County's providing security. They thought it was just a fun day to begin with. And Mitchell Hill called me next morning or the next morning real early. He said, "Hey, Roger, I read that paper." And he said, because they said, we were real busy in October. It's the busiest month of the year is in October for us. They said, "We'll have a patrol car ride by." I said, "Well, okay." And I didn't say this, but I almost did. I said, "It don't really matter because everybody in the church got a gun." We wanted to be legal, and we are legal. But anyway, he called me the next day. He said, "I saw that flyer," and he said, "We will have security there. So they'll be here." So I was on the line with Zachary about things, and he's helping me find a go-kart or golf carts, and we're going to have porta-johns. Ain't that convenient? I think we got 4 coming. There used to be an outside john out here. The men on one, the women on the other one, years and years ago. Does anybody remember that besides me and Chick? Oh, you girls back, y'all remember that well. I'm telling you. Boy, I'm telling you, God's just blessed us with inside bathrooms and porta-johns. So I was on the phone with Zachary about that, and when I pulled into Jack's to get me some water, and I asked Kathy, she had been getting, you know what I did? I just jumped out and run in on the phone, stayed on the line with Zachary about 30 minutes. I said, "Oh, Kathy went in the bathroom. She was in the car and couldn't get out." I had a hot wife that day, buddy. I'm telling you, her palms, I looked at her hands, they're sweating on her hands. I said, I went over and opened the door. And I said, Kathy, I forgot. It took me about an hour and taking her out to dinner. And I said, she'll forget about this. But she ain't, she's still hot. I'm sorry. Oh, well, we did. Hey, every one of our, every time at her birthday or anniversary, I'm either at a funeral or a hospital. And on our anniversary, I was at the hospitals. And, but we got to eat at Beans and Greens last night. Somebody said, it ain't the day, it's just doing it, whatever day you can do it. But really, women don't really understand that. But I did the best I could do. Y'all pray for me because I'm dealing with a hot woman. No, I think she's doing good. She's a better Christian than I'll ever be. Amen. Let's get out of this. All right, let's get on into the meeting. God help us. I thought I'd just say that. I got to get that door fixed. But on the other hand, if I'll just remember, I'll always look like a gentleman letting her out. She ain't going to ride with me anymore, is what the problem is. We're in Hebrews chapter 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I've been talking about the power of praise. And we're going to look in a little bit, for a little bit, in the nation of Israel, about the power of praise and some other things too. In Hebrews 13, verse 10, he's talking to believers and he says, we have an altar. It's not talking about this thing down here. I want you to keep in mind, it's not talking about this wooden bench. Let me tell you who he's talking about. Jesus. But we have Jesus. An altar. Whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. He's comparing the Old Testament church. He's talking about the Old Testament people who worshiped under the law. He's talking about them that were, and he's talking about people of the circumcision that thinks they're working for their salvation. And he said they don't have no right to come in to try to worship God thinking that they're saving themselves. How can anybody give God and the Lord Jesus Christ the glory and honor for salvation if they think they're working for it? And that's the whole picture. You got the Old Testament economy. It was under the law. And the Jew, the Pharisees, Sadducees perverted those laws. And they thought by keeping the law, they could go to heaven. And by being circumcised, they could go to heaven. He said, they don't have no right to claim in Jesus with works. By grace through faith are you saved. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, they brought the lambs and the bullocks and all those things inside, and they brought it, they brought their blood in, and their bodies are burned without the camp. Okay, without the camp. See, there was an altar in the camp or in the city and in the tabernacle, but there wasn't no altar outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now listen, Jesus had an altar without the camp, outside of legalism. He not only was the sacrifice, but Jesus is the altar. Amen. He's both. Amen. And we go outside of legalism, where Jesus was, See, they burned those bodies outside the camp, and that's where he suffered outside the camp on that hill, on that cross. He was burned for us. All the sin was done away with, past, present, and future. And you ought to be glad of that. And that ought to give you a reason to praise him. He said, by him, therefore, let us, verse 15, let us offer what? The sacrifice of praise. Not the sacrifice of trying to keep the law. Not the sacrifice saying, look how good I am. But the sacrifice of just praise to God for doing for us what we could not do, and doing for us which no religion has nor never shall do for us. It's not religion, it's not the law, it's not works, but it's Jesus. Blessed be the name of God. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. How long has it been since you have given praise to God? We not only give praise to God privately, we need to give God praise publicly. It's very essential that we do that in both locations. No praise in private, you just might as well keep your mouth shut in public. People will come to a church and they'll put on the praise and then they'll go back home with no praise. And they'll live the week more excited about something in the world than being excited about who Jesus is. That's hypocrisy. The nation of Israel was surrounded by their enemies. They were surrounded. In chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, it says to them in verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, those were ancestries to Israel. They were the incestuous descendants of the incestuous sin of Lot having children by his own daughters. And with them other beside the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. He was the king of Judah. And I want you to understand that they were surrounded by the enemies. And you can mark this down. Israel right now is surrounded by the enemy. They're surrounded by the enemies. Now look at this. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazaron Tamar, which is in Gedi. My friends, they were coming across the Red Sea. They were surrounded, and now somebody saw the enemy coming from the other side of the Red Sea. And my friends, it was from where Sodom and Gomorrah was, and it was the descendants of the Canaanites and the Sodomites. It was descendants of people that are surrounding us today. Do you not realize that I was a grown teenager, about 18 years old, before I knew what a homosexual was? And now little children do. And we're surrounded. So what do we do? Well, Jehoshaphat went to God in prayer and sought God. You can read about that. I read some of that last week. We were involved with that last week. And Jehoshaphat was the type of king that he went before God and he prayed. And he went to the people and they prayed. And he declared a fast. He said, we need to pray and fast. You know what Jesus said? The disciples said, we're having problems with these people of casting out demons. And he said to them, these come not out but by prayer and fasting. If you know anybody that is cast down and bound by the devil and lost and not living right, my friends, you need to realize if there's not a spark of good in them, they're bound for hell just like we are. We're totally depraved. We have no goodness in us without God. And we need to, if you love your loved ones like you say you do, and love's a cheap word right now. Everybody says, before the hell, I love you, I love you. And you know, my daddy, I think he told me one time he loved me. I got saved and I went up and hugged my daddy and said, I love you. And he said, I love you, son. One time One time is all I remember my daddy saying he loved me. He did not have to say, I love you. He showed it. He showed it. And I could get into all of that. But Jehoshaphat declared a fast and he declared prayer. And that's hitting pretty home. When God hits you in the, when you stop eating because of your burden, because of your burden. And if you're going to just do it because you can tell somebody, oh, I'm fasting, your fasting ain't worth 2 cents if you're telling somebody you're fasting. The Pharisees said, well, they fast often. Oh, we fast often. Done them a lot of good. Done them a lot of good. So what happened? They all got around the house of God. They all got around the house of God, the temple. The king, the Levites, the priests, the people, they all got around the house of God. Now, what will it take for people to acknowledge and get back to the house of God? I'm not talking about the circus. I'm not talking about the show. I'm not talking about the entertainment. But I'm talking about a place of holiness at a house of God where the gospel's preached and where you don't have entertainment, but you have preaching of the word of God. And my friends, what's it going to take for people to get back to the house of God? They were surrounded. And if you don't realize you're surrounded today, your country's surrounded. Your state surrounded, your county, your city, your countryside, your home is surrounded with evil.
Right.
And if that don't get your attention to get in a house of God and you're here, but participate in the praying and the praising.
Amen.
And if God leads you into the fasting. So here's a beautiful picture and a sad picture. Verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. What's the difference in a little one and a children? Well, Kathy's holding a little one right there. And there's two children sitting beside her and a bigger child sitting in the middle of them. They got them all to the house of God. They were, you know, if we were about to be invaded, and when I was in first, second grade, the Bay of Pigs took place. And I went to Jesse Dean Smith. That's where the new Gadsden High School is. There was a building there, Jesse Dean Smith. I walked to school. Boy, them days are over with, ain't they? I mean, even if you got them, I heard about kid in daycare. Listen, you know what happened? They found that kid in daycare at Walmart. Did y'all know that story? There's a kid walked right out of the nursery, walked down the road, went in Walmart. You know who I trust my kids with? My wife.
Amen.
And my daughters. Walked right into Walmart. Daycare. Check it out. So anyway, they were there with their families. And they were surrounded. And what will it take to get people interested and get them burdened? When I was in that grammar school, we thought we was going to have nuclear war. 90 miles off the coast of Florida were Russian nuclear bombs. We thought we were fixing to get blown away. Y'all remember that, don't you? Kennedy was the president. They told us, they said, look, get under your desk. Okay. Right. Some of the people said, to prepare for a nuclear fallout, get you a door and a shovel and dig your little hole and lay in it and put that door over you. That's a grave, friends. They told us, now when, if this happens, we're going to go down to Walnut Park School and we want, now here's the thing. Nothing wrong with rich people, but I was poor. Still poor, not as poor, but not as poor as then. The country club, who later went to school with, and when they integrated us, They'd go down First National Bank and some of the other places in fallout shelters. You know where they told us to go? Down to Walnut Park School, go in the kitchen, the dining room, and sit down and have your last meal. They really care about us. They didn't tell us that, but I had enough sense to know that I had friends and people that were other schools that were going to be in the fallout. So what does it take to get your attention if you're about to die and you're surrounded and your wives and your children and your little ones are about to die? It don't have to come to that. We need to take attention now and take preventative maintenance and get things right with God and be ready to die if we die and be ready to live if God lets us live. Amen. So just right out of the blue. Just right out of the... Are you already back from Pensacola? It's worth the drive, but I figured it'd be done there a while. I'm glad to see you back. Distance is nothing. I remember my distance from hearing ball play out to Gallup. Man, I could be there in 15 minutes. Kathy would call and say, "Ain't you coming?" I'll be there in 15 minutes, Kathy. So right out of the blue, I believe he's a young man. His descendants were priests and prophets. And his name was Jahaziel. And he was filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of prophecy came upon him. And that happened in the Old Testament because they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have what we got. And he stood up, faced the king and the people, and he had something wonderful to say. And I want to read just a little bit of what he said. 14, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jezreel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed. Look, are you about to die?" He said, "There's no need to be afraid. You done read ahead of me, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." I've been trying to realize that in my life. It don't matter who I'm surrounded by. It don't matter what the enemy is. And Jesus said, your enemies are going to be they of your own household. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I'm come to turn mother against daughter, son against father." He said, "I'm come to turn mother-in-law against daughter-in-law." All that happens. The enemies will be of your own. And it does not matter what's coming my way. I really don't think I should take it personal, because it's God's battle. Now listen to me very carefully. I sure wanted to finish up before the rally. This may go on into another Sunday. But I want you to listen to very carefully to what I'm about to say to you. You see those words, "For the battle is not yours." How many times, you don't have to raise your hand, or you can if you want to, but I've heard person after person in my years of what I'm doing, they've come to me and they'll say, "I'm in a battle, preacher." You ever heard anybody say that? Like it's their battle, it's my battle. I've seen this in a whole different avenue because I think I probably said it myself. It's not my battle, it's God's. It's God's. You know what's going to happen when you realize it's not personal, it's not all about you, it's God's battle. God's. And I'll tell you this, don't take it personal. If we take the battle personal, we'll be offended. We'll get mad at God and everybody else around us. Get offended. Something may happen in a church sometime, and in this church, and somebody said, "Well, you know, it's me. It ain't you. It's God." You ever think about the person that might be in opposition to you? You might could just be trying to help them, and that you sometimes could be wrong yourselves. Subject to, right? Maybe once in a blue moon, you could be wrong. It's not my battle. It's God's. Got to be careful here. If I think it's my battle, if it's all about me and my battle, I will exert my energy and I will exhaust myself. I mean, I'll exert my energy. I will exalt myself. I will be exhausted and beat down. I've been there. I've actually assumed the leadership in my own battle. That's a dangerous thing to do. You know why? Because I am not omnipotent. I'm expendable. I'm weak. I'm but just the dust. But God is omnipotent. God has the power. And when things get around me and I'm surrounded or you're surrounded or a believer's surrounded and they try to take it all on, I had a book that a secular man wrote. He's a psychiatrist, I think, or a counselor. I can't remember. I saw those books at one of my bookstores that I go to down at the Goodwill. That's a good bookstore. And I bought his book, and I read him. You know what he said? Do not try. You know what a pitching machine is, don't you? Let's just say you had a pitching machine, and it was throwing 100 balls at you a minute. That'd be a lot. What about a second? I mean, he said this, don't try to catch every ball that's thrown towards you. That's a great thought. Just duck it. Dodgeball. Choose the ones you want to catch. Don't try to take it all on. Because you're not omnipotent. And I'm not either. God, we're not omnipresent either. I guess one of the hard things that I've tried to do is be in my kids' lives, all of them at once. 9 kids. I'm talking about in my mind, in my heart. You can't do that. And I've had to say to the Lord in prayer, Lord, I can't be there, but you can. And I'm going to have to give this to you because you're in charge, not me. And you know, it's hard for a man, and I guess some women, to let somebody else be in charge. But if you're going to ever let somebody be in charge, why don't you let God? Because it's His battle. It's not yours. Not only that, I don't take it personal. I'll be offended. I will exert my energy. I'll exhaust myself. Could even die. Brother John Gregory was the man that I worked with at Grace Baptist Church and Christian School when I first came out of college. And he wanted me to help him, and I'm not a school teacher. And he wanted me to be a basketball coach and a football coach, and I'm neither one of those. But I wound up doing it. You remember that, Derek? You remember when Walter Howard up in Boaz, they beat our socks off? That was so humiliating. We had twice as many people, but they knew the plays. And you know why we lost? Me. I didn't know nothing about it. All I know is cow pasture football. But you know what? If I try to take it personal, in the battle, you know what will happen? I will lose. I'll lose. John Gregory and his wife, I was in the hospital when he had a trach. He couldn't talk anymore because he had thyroid cancer. And he died about a year after I started helping him. And then they called. He wanted me to be recommended me to be the pastor, and I was for a couple of years. His wife, he would write things on that little thing, pull it up and it'd disappear. He would write instructions for me to help run the school and the church. And I was 23. We were newlyweds. And you know what Miss Gregory told me in the hospital? She said, Roger, you've got to get some rest. She said, if you don't rest, you're going to be in the same place he is. Because he took it all. He was fighting a battle down there. I won't get into it, but I'm going to tell you what, it brought him down. And the doctor said that stress will cause cancer. Is that not right? Stress can cause cancer. You'll lose, friend. Let God be the leader. Let him in. Because the battle's not ours. It's God. And you know who's not going to be exhausted? God. And you know who's going to win? God is. And if we're letting God be the winner, we're under His supervision and His leadership, guess who else is going to win? You're going to win right with Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I want to keep preaching, and y'all want me to stop. I'm not kidding about that, but we're going to stop. I got a long way to go. We'll finish it up, hopefully, another day.